to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lapped Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 69.
69.
Well, thank you, Adam Sandler, for that one. That's right. It is episode 69 of the Lapped Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. All right. There is some major, major buzz around the All-Star Race this weekend. Some loved it. Some hated it. Which camp are you in? We'll get to my opinion here in a little bit. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and we are headed into one of racing's biggest and longest days of racing on Sunday as we head into the Memorial three-day weekend. We've got the Monaco Grand Prix, the Indy 500, and NASCAR's longest race of the season, the Coke 600. Can't wait for this weekend. Hopefully the weather cooperates a little bit at Indy, wherever you're at Charlotte, all that good stuff. And so I can't wait for this weekend. Quick rundown. What do we got today? The very, very Twitter famous NASCAR Chasm will be on here in just a minute. Going to talk with Kaz about what he's got going on. We'll break down the truck race and the all-star race from this weekend. Aaron will be on for his usual weather report, which will include Indy, I believe. Get to your lucky dog lap down picks. Fantasy segment one's almost over. Get to that in a little bit. Again, big thanks to everyone that helped spread word about the show on social media. All right, let's get into it with today's guest, ladies and gentlemen. All right, joining me on the line, you can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR Chasm. You can find some of his stuff on NASCAR.com. He cleared out his very busy schedule tonight just to come on the show. Welcome back once again, Mr. NASCAR Chasm. How are you, sir?
Spectacular. Are you doing well?
I am excellent. How's life? How's things? It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, it really, really has. I was starting to wonder if you had basically kind of sort of disowned me. I don't really know. But,
never.
But wonderful to be back on.
Excellent. So. Thank you very much. Let's dive right into it. So you've been known for doing some really funny stuff on NASCAR.com. And I want to talk about your latest set of fake text centered around the birth of Dale Jr.'s new baby. And what I want to do is, I don't want to talk about that. I want to take a dangerous journey into the mind of NASCAR Chasm. And I want to know what was the inspiration behind the first set of fake texts that have led to this phenomenon?
Well, you know why we do those is because it's just a really quick, kind of sort of easy thing to get out there on a deadline. If there's a large event that's happening, whether it's the, like you said, the birth of Dale Jr. or something else, it's really easy if you want to bust out what hopefully is a decent, quick comedic piece to just do those. I don't know how or why that is the case, but it just really is. And so that's why that tends to be the fail safe, basically.
They're phenomenal. I mean, I'll sit there and read them like two or three times. I think they're hysterical.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Oh, thank you. I mean, by all means, keep doing that, man. Quick's matter.
Click.
Do it four or five, yes. And then just keep hitting refresh. Do that, okay?
Yeah, and if everyone can do that with the show, too, downloads matter. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're no need to lie. We are all quick horse.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So let me add, and if you don't want to divulge this information, that's cool. So whose phone are you using and resetting names to text back and forth with yourself to take the screenshots?
Oh, I don't use any of those. There are plenty of online generators where you can do that.
Nice.
So there's absolutely no phone that is used. That
Excellent.
Would be, like I said, I don't have enough friends to do that. So I can't, there's no way I can be like, hey, bro, what's up? Hey, do you mind if I text you this and you text me this back and we do this nine times,
right,
maybe more in case there's typos? No, that's not how we do it. There's these little online build-a-fake text conversation generators that are really easy to use. So
good
sorry
to know.
Sorry to pull back the curtain and ruin everything like that. You know, there's no
special wizard.
Yeah, there's no, Lucasfilm CGI kind of action going on there. Sorry. Very sorry.
You also did a video of Morgan Freeman spotting for Jimmy Johnson at Talladega, which was hysterical. What led to that?
Boy, I don't know. You hallucinate during the day, and sometimes things pop into your head. And, you know, I think all of us probably have that dream where we would just love to hire Morgan Freeman for one day to just narrate one day of our life. That's all we want. As boring and monotonous as mine is, that's what I would love to do. And so, you know, we just took what could Morgan Freeman narrate? No, you know, Lap at Talladega, that would be wonderful. And so that was kind of fun to do. We got a pretty good reaction on that. Yeah. Morgan himself has not chimed in, but, you know, it still hasn't been out there that long.
Right.
So I'm sure his people will be in touch with my people soon. And we'll get,
obviously.
We'll be able to green light another project. You know how they do it in Hollywood.
So a suggestion. For your next one of the spotter remakes there, I think Joe Pesci would do a great job spotting. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Ooh, Joe Pesci. I never thought of that, really. Yeah, I never thought of that. Huh.
I think that would be phenomenal.
Really? So you think are we talking like Home Alone Joe Pesci, or are we talking like super angry Goodfellas Joe
Pesci? I'm thinking either maybe like a cross of Goodfellas with a little My Cousin Vinny mix in there, maybe,
if it works. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. I think that'd be hysterical.
Exactly. Speaking of My Cousin Vinny, what do you think Joe Pesci thinks of the current Ute movement in the sport?
the two Utes.
The two Utes, yeah, there you go. That, you can feel free to use that dad joke for right ahead. I'm disowning that one.
That's making the cut. You're good.
Good.
All right. Moving right along. Kaz, as someone who is not a stranger to making bets, hashtag Joey Logano, never forget, some of the biggest buzz in the world of sports is the potential of legalized sports betting. Could this potentially be a good thing for NASCAR and fans? You know, obviously it's not going to solve attendance or ratings issues, but could that give the sport a little jolt if NASCAR is able to get into that?
I can only speak for myself, and I would certainly enjoy it. Whenever I'm in Vegas, I'm not a full on degenerate Pete Rose level gambler, but you go to the pay window and you pick a couple things, and I've had success doing that. And boy, you know, I don't know the intricacies, the legalities, or any of the logistics that go into actually saying, hey, let's have pay windows set up at all the tracks, and you can bet on the stage winners, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it could get real serious. I mean,
oh, you bet it could. You bet it could.
Like my buddy owns a sports bar, and him and I were talking the other day. Like, could this get as simple as, you know, we've got bar Keno basically ran through the state of Michigan up here? You know, could we literally be sitting at the bar, and instead of filling out a Keno slip, we're filling out a bet slip that gets ran through a machine, and boom, here's your ticket while you're watching, having a couple drinks on a Friday night kind of thing, like. It could get scary, I think, in terms of, I mean, Detroit's got three casinos as it is, and there are some major degenerates down there. You know, I like to go every once in a while, for Friday night, whatever. And I'd be the same way with this. Like, I love DraftKings, you know, and I do DraftKings just because I can't make actual line bets on sports and things like that. So I would really look forward to being able to make a bet on a NASCAR race or a football game or something like that. And I there's options out there, right? Like with the offshore stuff, but I don't trust, you know, some guy sitting in God knows what country to mail me a Visa gift card when I want to cash out my winnings. So.
My God, what kind of, hold on a second. Hold on. Before we go any further, you are way more into this than I expected. You were talking like, so do you have a direct line to some random anonymous bookie who lives in the Cayman Islands?
Setting
these all up for you? Because we need to talk, if so. We really do.
I know a lot of people that have played like on some of the other, you know, like Bovada, sportsbook.ag or whatever. And I just get too leery. It's either one that I'm going to get a knock on the door from the federal government for illegal betting, or so I'm like, I'm excited for it to maybe be legalized. So, you know, I'm thinking, everybody's gonna want their cut of the pie, whether it's the NFL, NASCAR, the state, the federal, you know. So the odds on what might have been a 10-1 bet might only be a 5-1 bet when it's all said and done. But you know, I think it'd be very cool.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you looked at it, but a few days ago, Brendan Gaughan, who is of course a member of the Gaughan family, the Las Vegas, the South Point Casino, and all that.
Yep.
He put out actually a series of tweets that I found very interesting because whenever we hear that gambling, however it is at events or I don't know the intricacies of the actual bill, but you are like, oh sweet, more money for teams, and you had like all these just theories about it come flying out. More money for NASCAR, more money for teams. And I don't know how it works. I don't know if teams get a cut of that. I don't know if leagues get a cut of that. And Brendan Gaughan actually kind of sort of explained that. And, he would know. Brendan would know. And he put out a good series of tweets that really kind of breaks it down. I won't list them off right now because I don't exactly remember them.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm old now. Yeah, I'm going
to
go and check that.
it's a good set to kind of look at because, there's a lot more to it. It's not just as simple as opening up a pay window.
Every track.
There's a lot more to it. And I think, naturally every league was probably asked to comment on it, and not just motorsports, probably every professional sports league there is. Hey, can we get a comment on the bill that legalized? And everyone's going to say the same thing. Well, perhaps it might open up an opportunity and we're looking into it, but we have no real comment at this time because there's blah, blah, blah. No one's going to be like, hell yeah, we're opening up a pari-mutuel window right next to the concession stand. No one's going to say that. That's not how it works.
No.
Just the possibility of, showing up, getting your giant turkey leg, your soda, your beer, or whatever. And, if you got 10 bucks there, heck, let's do a win place show at the end. Let's do a superfecta. It could work. And boy, oh boy, I would certainly do it. And just imagine like at a super speedway race where the odds are probably, you have a much, much better chance of maybe that lower odds driver making you some money. Because if it was legal right now, think of the issues of, guess what? I went and put $100 on Kevin Harvick, and I'm proud to say that I went to that pay window after the race, and I'm the proud owner of $100.15.
Right, yeah.
That's how it would be now. Yep.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, so I want to get your take on, you may not have read it, but there was an article published last week on JSKI, talked about some frustration within NASCAR between teams and owners. It appears as though NASCAR and teams are looking very forward to 2020 when the first expiration of the team charters occurs. Track sanctioning agreements will be up. NASCAR fans have been very vocal and resistant to change, and it seems like the potential of another major shakeup in the sport could happen in the next 2 years. Can you give your thoughts on, could there be a shakeup once all this stuff comes up for a reagreement?
Possibly. I'm not necessarily one who is afraid of change. I'm not sure if you've noticed here, if you've been on social media from time to time, but one thing that always happens whenever something new comes down the pike, whether it's this package that was used at the All-Star Race or stage racing and so on, basically what happens is NASCAR introduces it and everyone just totally agrees. That's what's so nice about the sport is like whenever something new comes about, everyone is in 100% agreement.
Right.
Yeah. But like I said, not to kind of dodge it necessarily, because there's a lot more smarter people to talk to it than I am. But, acknowledging shift, acknowledging change, that's part of things. And if you hear about a change that's coming down the pike, whether it's a schedule shift, whether it's the charter system, I know nothing about that. Trust me, nothing. But experience them first, observe them, watch them happen, then make up your mind.
Sure.
Because I know we're in an immediate hot take society right now. Boy, you gotta know right away if pit guns. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's good. You have to have an opinion immediately. And in my opinion, no, you don't. It's perfectly fine to look and see how things, how they are happening, and then base a conclusion on that. It's kind of how they do it. I think scientists do that from time to time.
Test and make observations and then report back. Right.
Yes, exactly. It's not like this. I am going to make antibiotics, possibly. No, it's, you know, you do the experiment, and oh, hey, look, penicillin. Sweet. That's how you do it. And I, like I said, I for one will totally be fine with it. And I think what will happen, if there are changes, if there are shifts, if charters stay, if they go, if the schedule changes or, you know, goes through some major shakeup, I'll be fine with it. And what will happen is the way time passes, in a few years, we will romanticize how it was now. You know how people are talking about how great the good old days were, when, you know, Richard Petty was, you know, lapping up to, you know, like everybody. You know how he put the field down?
The field, two laps, three laps. Yeah,
exactly. You know, that's kind of the normal chain of events, how things, I think, operate in society here. They happen. Some people like, some people complain. Then time passes, and then that whole era gets romanticized. So whatever happens, like I said, if the schedule gets shorter, then in a few years, oh, God, remember the good old 36 race years? You know, it's like, oh, God. You know,
I'm with you.
It's just the way social media operates.
I'm open. You know, I remember each facet of the progression of racing, and especially over the last decade, when we've gone from straight points championships to the race for the chase without the elimination, and now we've got the elimination. Like, each thing had its own characteristics that were good, and I'm one to evolve, and that, you know, to keep up with the Joneses and to keep up with the times, you know, you got to make some changes. So I'm not, you know, I think some changes might be bad, but I'd rather see, like you said, let's see how they play out first. Like, I think this, not to beat a dead horse here with the whole pit guns, because I've said it quite a few times on the show this season already, but I'm shocked they didn't test that out in the truck series first or something like that. Like, no, all three series, boom, here we go, and fingers crossed, you know? So,
yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, hopefully maybe this could be a future learning experience or something like that, you know, that they don't make mistake again.
Kind of a watershed moment, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and but I think what is important is the measured approach. I kind of like, you know, what O'Donnell said after the All-Star race this past Saturday night. He was, you know, not. I think he was pleased, but he wasn't necessarily like, this is the way things are going. It was a measured approach. There was some good to it. There was some bad to it, and. You know, I was glad to see that, because so many other places and tracks, yeah, I saw a track tweeting like, OMG, can we have this package when we get here? And it's like, slow your roll.
Whoa, slow your roll.
Yep. Okay, calm down.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot more to be worked out. So,
well, you know, so speaking of that, let's talk about that for a minute. So we'll get to the actual racing itself in a minute, but what was your take on the actual package that they ran at the All-Star race? Were you a fan? You know, there was a lot of spectrum covered on social media, of course, because everyone's got their rightful opinion. People hated it. People loved it. What was your view on the package?
I was fine with it. Like, once the race started, one thing that was really, really odd was that when qualifying was happening, it was visibly slower. It was like, are they cutting the engine off and saving fuel and qualifying? Like, what's going on here? Because you could absolutely tell. But once the actual race started, I think probably after restarts or on the green flag, took a little bit to get going. But, you know, for some reason, it was that the optimal difference between when you see one car out there running solo in quals, it looks pretty slow, and I don't know really what I'm going to think of this, but when they're all out there and they're, you know, finally racing, I was, you know, kind of a fan of it. Now, yeah, the car out front still appeared to have a slight advantage like it did, but, you know, that guy was going to get $1 million. But back in the pack, that's where there was a lot more action, a lot more side-by-side, and a lot more just out of control happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, back there is what I saw. And so... And when it comes to that whole passing the leader argument, yeah, it's great if you can pass the leader, but, and I know a lot of people were kind of complaining about that, but the hypothetical is the only reason that Kevin Harvick, I believe, didn't win the second stage was because during the pit stops, they lost position.
Yep.
Now, it's just possible that hypothetically, and maybe based on 2018, they just had the best car out there. You know, and that's the thing you got to weigh in, you know, is if it's Kevin Harvick out front, and everyone's like, oh, I wish they could pass the leader. It's like, they haven't been able to pass the leader with the previous package. They weren't able to pass Kevin Harvick with this one.
Right.
You know, well, Harvick is good.
To be fair, the space between Harvick and position two wasn't 6-7 seconds. It was a second.
No,
it was
really
a half
wasn't.
Second. So, you know, the gap got shortened up a bit to where at least there was excitement at almost all three of the stages, and then with the final there. So, you know, that at least closed the gap a little bit to, you know, make it a little bit more exciting there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, you know, it's not a final product. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Just remember that, people. Just remember that.
Work in progress. So, we heard from some drivers after the race or during the race if they were getting out of the care center. Martin Truex Jr. said, we put on a hell of a show. Logano said, I wish every race was this fun. Nothing to lose. Just go for it. Larson, I hate to admit it, but the package was kind of fun at times. It seems like the drivers might be okay with it. And if the drivers are in favor, that could maybe push things along a little bit quicker if they were to make some changes down the road?
You would hope. They're the ones who have the ultimate input. I'm just glad that they're, I would say, listen to them and don't listen to Twitter. They would be the ones to talk to, you know. They really would be. Just don't listen to Twitter. We're not the... We're not a great sounding board.
No. Definitely, you know, not sourcing Twitter.
the other thing to consider is that, you know, with all the changes that the car has gone through over the years, and with this new package and everything, this was the first race with it. There were some, I've never personally seen a big one at Charlotte like that.
Right.
I've never seen, you know, Kurt Busch just kind of like oddly snap around in the position that he was. But, you know, it's entirely possible that, let's say you were to make this the norm, that in 2, 3, 4 races down the road, like I said, these teams are smart. Everybody's got it figured out.
Sure.
So, you know, it's, I don't think necessarily the purpose of like every package is completely fool or befuddle teams or be like, well, it's out of control. Deal with it. You know, I think that, I mean, especially Rodney Childers, I think you could say the quarter panels have to be made of lunch meat, and Rodney Childers would figure out a way to optimize it and get it to the front. So
yeah, they definitely have it worked in and dialed in this season so far.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. All right. So this Sunday, big day in racing. I know you're an Indiana native. Are you going to the 500, or what's Chasm's schedule like for the racing weekend this weekend?
Oh, well, I got my private jet set up.
Nice.
And what we're doing is on, I think Friday, flying out to Monaco. And,
awesome.
You know, I'm hooking up that night. I think I got a champagne party with Lewis Hamilton on his yacht in the harbor there. And then I'll catch a little bit of the race. And then I got my reconditioned, refurbished Concorde. We're sailing back over to Indy. And we'll catch a little bit of that. And then back to Charlotte.
Living the good life, right? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Here's the deal. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yeah,
nice.
That's basically
nice.
It.
Nice.
You know, when you're Indiana, it's what you do. And, you know, one of my pet peeves always has been, and one thing that I, you know, will not do on, I mean, you know, granted, it's weird when I say, hey, here is one thing I will not do on Twitter, when it's like, well, why don't you have a rule that says, hey, how about you have a rule where you don't post crappy dad jokes all the time and waste our life? You know, I don't have that rule, but one that I do is that you don't diss or make fun of any other racing series.
Fair enough.
I like them all. And, you know, that's why I absolutely love going to the 500. I always have. And that's where we will be in our usual spot in the South Vista between turns 1 and 2, where last year we got I don't want to say it was a good vantage point because there was nothing good about it. Basically right in front of Scott Dixon's harrowing wreck.
Oh, wow.
That happened right in front of us.
Okay.
So we will be there. And myself, a few other people will soak it all in. I'm going to have to figure out a way to keep my wife from humping Chris Hemsworth's leg. That'll be a kind of a challenge, but you know, she won't be the only one, I don't think.
No,
that poor guy is going to be like, I think by the even before Green Flag, that poor guy is going to be like standing on the top of the IMS scoring pylon with just hordes of horny cougars just trying to climb that thing to get to him. It'll be crap, you know. They're going to have to helicopter him off of there, be that poor guy. But yeah, that's where we'll be. And then basically the way traffic has worked out traditionally, we are able to get home about a half hour before Green Flag at the old Coca-Cola 600.
Excellent.
It was kind of funny how a few years ago, because, you know, obviously with priorities being what they were, when Kurt Busch ran the double, Kurt Busch was able to get from Indianapolis to Charlotte before I was able to get to my house 15 miles away from the track.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of how it works.
That's 350,000, I think, were there last year.
I'm not sure if it was that much. I don't know the attendance figures, but they do a wonderful job, you know, especially with the Snake Pit, what they've done in getting a whole bunch of kids who may not even be there necessarily for the race. They have this whole, right in turn three, this giant EDM concert where they have these big EDM acts perform. It's really kind of surreal because there's like bass going and there's like smoke, towers going off. It's really kind of surreal and, very impressive what they've done with it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, sir, had an excellent time there this weekend.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk some racing from this past weekend. We had the trucks on Friday night at Charlotte. Brett Moffitt, stage one. John Hunter Nemechek, stage two. And Johnny Sauter brings home the checkered flag. Smart money on this race would have been Kyle Busch. I mentioned it last week. Kyle has won seven out of the first 15 truck races held at Charlotte. Race started pretty quiet, didn't get three or four wide like we saw last week. Noah Gregson able to make some passes and get up to the lead. Caution came out with 10 to go, flat tire, Grant Enfinger. Sauter ends up staying out, but ends up losing the playoff point and the stage win to Brett Moffitt. I got to tell you, I felt real bad for Brett. Because he had a hell of a truck, and I think he could have contended with Sauter had he had been able to get onto pit road and not get blocked by Noah Gregson there during that one caution there.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Yeah, no, I understand that. I think, but it takes a lot to defeat Sauter, who's becoming one of my favorite individuals merely on in-car audio, because you can never tell if Sauter's being honest or not, or if he's just being 100% smart-ass sarcastic. You know, it's like you may, hey, Johnny, how's the truck handling? And he could get back on the radio like, oh, the truck? Oh, it's great. Oh, it's the best truck I've ever run. Oh, it's wonderful. It's turning beautifully. And you're like, I can't tell if you're being honest or not, if you're just being a sarcastic prick.
Right?
I can't tell. And so, you know, that's why I love Johnny Sauter. But I was a fan of that. And truthfully, I was a fan of Kyle Busch's post-race press conference and being perfectly frank and perfectly honest. I don't mind that at all.
So I was going to ask you about that. So, you know, Kyle Busch has grown on me over the last couple years. When he first came about, I was not a fan. And over the years, I've seen him do very nice things. And so obviously he has a good heart and he's a good character person outside of the track and all that a little bit. And I've just come to realize Kyle Busch is like the heel in professional wrestling. And you eventually learn to love the heel at some point in time. So Kyle Busch is growing on me, and I'm with you. I've got no issue with him vocalizing. You know, he's not the first person to criticize his pit crew this year, you know, and he's not going to be the last. So he just has a different demeanor about doing it that, you know, leaves a bitter taste in people's mouths, I think. But you have to appreciate what he does.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, like you said, you mentioned professional wrestling, and I know that's not a correlation we like to make. You know, if you don't have the bad guy to root against in professional wrestling, then what do you got?
Exactly.
You got nothing.
Yes.
And it's the same in, you know, years from now, everyone's going to appreciate the hell out of everything Kyle Busch did. It's like, you know, if you don't enjoy or appreciate the fact that you have somebody, if if you're a detractor, if you have somebody to just boo mercilessly, and, you know, then you got to appreciate him. And more importantly, the fact that he doesn't care. That's what also makes it awesome. Is that it's just like, wave it in, I absorb it, do what you want to do, I don't care, I'm going to win. That's what I love. And, you know, the fact that he, in that post-race press conference, it was heated, but you obviously can't, you know, accuse him of sugarcoating or, you know, trying to sort of downplay something, because I often figure that, you know, a lot of these drivers or crew chiefs or, you know, anybody who has to answer questions from the media, you know, what they might do is kind of downplay it and say, well, we had a few issues on pit road, but hopefully we can overcome that. We got a great group of guys, yada, yada, yada. You know, you got to figure some of them might go back right to the hauler after saying that and just ream everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's a matter of what you say for the camera versus, you know, what's actually happening. And with Kyle, you're like, I got a pretty good idea as to what he's going to say to the crew when they get back. So, you know, so yeah, so that's, you know, you always learn from the honesty.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I never run into old Kyle and new Kyle. I want Kyle to absolutely 100% stay Kyle.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Matt Crafton, I talked about it last week with Jeff Gluck a little bit. He is struggling, in my opinion. You know, he finished 11th, which isn't horrible. But by Matt Crafton standards, in my opinion, that's the finishes Crafton's gotten so far through however many, 12 races, I think, or 10 races in the truck series. What's your take on Crafton? I think it might have something to do with the switch to Ford. It just doesn't seem like the Matt Crafton that, you know, is up there contending with Sauter like we would have expected to see.
Yeah, he's basically, I think all you really got to say, he's kind of the, right now, he's kind of the Jimmy of the truck series. That's what he is. The veteran, reliable driver who just out of nowhere, whether it's a manufacturer switch or in the Hendrick course, in the Hendrick cars, a switch of the Camaro, just something they're having trouble figuring out. So I think that, you know, that's maybe it. Now, granted, I think Jimmy's had maybe a little bit more success, and the bar might be a little bit higher for Mr. Johnson. But you know, that I think that's kind of a correlation that you can draw. You know, just, and you know, same with same with Mike Harmon in the Xfinity series. Just the glory days are past.
All right, so the trucks are off for a few weeks until June 8th, when they'll be under the lights of Texas. The trucks run 23 races with multiple combined off weeks. And it's not that I don't look forward to the cup race each week, but I really look forward to the trucks, knowing that they're not on each and every week. Is less more? And could this potentially see a reduced schedule maybe in 2020 with the cups? Could that be something to where we may not get the cups each week? And would that increase interest, knowing that we don't get it every week, perhaps?
Boy, if I had any information, I promise you that I would not tell you any of it.
This is all opinion based. It's opinion based.
Oh, this is all opinion based.
Smart ass.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize that. I thought you were trying to like.
Oh, no,
your theory might be that, when they have really important insider information, the first thing they're going to do is tell the loser on Twitter. It's like, no, I am really low on the totem pole. This I promise you. So, I'm fine with it the way it is. Now, I appreciate the, I believe, is it three off weekends we have now?
They're off, June 8th. Oh no, three. Yeah. June 8th.
Yeah. And all that. But, but again, if that's a change that comes down the pipe, then I'm totally fine with it.
I'm with you.
Yep.
No Xfinity race to talk about, but you got a quick comment on, what you've seen so far in the Xfinity series this year?
Boy, oh boy! You really got to enjoy those Dash for Cash races. Really stand out. They really do. And I, based on that kind of sort of orgasmic sigh you just made, I'm guessing that you kind of agree. You're like, oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I was like, calm down, boy. Calm down. If you need to take a minute, take a minute. If you need a minute, take a minute. It's okay, man. It's okay. You know. Yeah, and boy, you know, the argument there of the cup, you know, do you need cup drivers in it? Do you not? It seems like slowly but surely they're working their way to finally a happy medium, you know, with, you know, the Dash for Cash races, cup guys can't run, the, yep. You know, season finale, cup guys can't run. I like the movement more towards that.
Yes.
And all the, you know, the Xfinity races that, you all kind of have a problem with are the ones where it's an Xfinity race and then they, you know, they go to commercial and they show the top five and it's, you know, Kyle Busch, Blaney, Keselowski, Larson. Yep. You're like, what series am I watching? So it's, and it, you know, it allows guys like, you mean, Ryan Preece, what a blast that kid is. You know, he has just kind of got this, kick-ass, he's like the most kick-ass temp any company could possibly hire. Shows up, wins, you're like, okay, I'll be back in a few weeks and kick more ass. Yeah. You know, that's absolutely tremendous.
It's like a UFC fighter coming in, like, I'll be back when I want to be back kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep.
All right, over to the main, the feature, the All-Star race this weekend. We talked about the package that they ran a little bit. What do you think of the format? Do you like the open qualify, almost like a heat race kind of thing, followed by the four-stage All-Star race?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, the thing about the All-Star race and the open or whatever is you blink a few times and they're done. You know, there's not a lot of a time commitment with that. And so I like from that brings more urgency on the track. I think guys are a little more daring because there's not, you know, necessarily points on the line. I'm good with that. And the qualifying, that is just, I'm kind of on the fence with that because it's so bizarre to watch in person. You know, we're down there, we're standing behind the pit boxes where they're doing it. And, you know, watching the cars sail down pit road and it's like Kyle Larson. I'm not sure if you saw that. Did you see his quote unquote pit stop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Through the box, three boxes.
He wound up in like Atlanta when he was done sliding, and it was really funny watching the four, like his team up on pit wall. Now the deal with these stops is the team cannot go over pit wall until the car has come to a complete stop. Those are the rules with this one. That's why you saw a lot of teams doing left sides first and then right side. But just watching that the team, like, you know, it's kind of sort of watching them, and they're about ready, and they about jump off, and then they're all their heads just kind of sort of go in the opposite direction, and then they almost turn into that, like, the squinting woman meme, like, where's he at, you know. I don't think that should ever necessarily be the norm, you know. That's kind of like a specific for the event. Let's have this complete haywire qualifying just once a year. But yeah, that's not the norm. That is a kind of a one-time American Gladiators type, thing you can throw at
a cool skills comp for a one-off thing there.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had a couple Chevys win the open stages, and that's probably because all of the Fords and main Toyotas were already qualified for the race.
Wait a minute. Oh, wow. Okay, excellent. Way to, man. Wait a minute. Hello, wet blanket. Way to be. Yeah. Man, way to go. It's like all the Chevys were finally like, oh, we finally had some progress. We finally won some. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes me. Yep. Sorry.
Matt Kenseth wins the pole for the All-Star race, second start of the season. What's your take on the whole Matt Kenseth story?
I've always loved Matt, and I think it's fantastic that he's back. And I'm kind of sort of in a wait and see pattern when it comes to how him and Trevor are going to work together, or if, you know, if he's really truly there to mentor or help them whatsoever. I don't really know yet, you know, if on the days or races that Trevor is in the car, you know, will Matt be there kind of sort of helping him with communication, with, you know, advice over the radio? Or, you know, at some point this year, is Trevor Baines, you know, key to the shop just going to mysteriously stop working? I really have no idea, but, you know, they had to do, I mean, they absolutely had to do something. Excuse me. And, you know, that's the, obviously the right guy for the job, because if I were to guess, it's, you know, the things, if you listen to Trevor Baines on the radio, he's like always talking and yelling and so on. And I don't know how much of that is necessarily valuable or helpful to the team. So, you know, you got a steady hand like Matt, who's only going to talk to you if he needs to, and, you know, give you feedback. I think he is obviously the right guy, for the job.
Yes. All right. So I will correct myself. There was one Chevy that actually made some progress. I think Casey Kane ends up going 5 laps down and ends up battling back to the lead lap and finishing 10th. So that was pretty remarkable to overcome a 5 lap deficit in a race. You don't see happen. Yes. Yes. I don't know if you know this, but apparently with this new package, you can't go 4 wide at Charlotte, as we saw there. As you mentioned.
You can go 4 wide there. You might not come out of it, but you can't ever say, you don't say you can't do this. You don't say you can't go 6 wide at Talladega. I mean, if you want to, you can, but the result might suck.
Might be a little different.
You
know,
you got to be quick. Yeah.
So we got some all-star favorites collected there with Keselowski, Truex, Bowyer, Kurt, and Kyle. The second attempt at the overtime of stage 3, I was baffled by how hard Hamlin, Suarez, and Harvick were racing to win that pointless stage and almost wrecked again. Hey, it's all out on the line, I guess, right? Nothing to lose, but that was crazy.
I mean, that's what we want to see. Do you remember a few years back when teams would win a stage and then sandbag until the end?
Yeah.
You know, what we want to see. And, I think probably, you know, if you had to pick out two breakout stars there, I mean, you know, Allmendinger was really impressive most of the race until obviously he walled it. And then, you know, old Daniel there, he put on a really, really good show. I become a bigger fan of that kid every week. I think he's tremendous.
Yeah, no, he's definitely making a name for himself and slowly starting to climb up the finish scale there.
Sure.
Let's see. Stage 4, the 10-lap shootout at the end. It looked like it was going to go green for the whole 10 laps, but with about 2 to go, Larson and Logano do a little tangling up out there. What'd you think of that?
I think Larson pretty much took responsibility for that. It was a hit me, so I hit you back situation. And, you know, all it really was that, you know, Kyle Larson got to bless us with yet another uncontrolled slide the weekend. You know, like, you know, hey, you thought last night was cool.
It was a grand finale.
Watch this. I'm going to be like, you know, Devin Hester at his heyday, and I'm just going to sail across the field and get to the end zone on this one. It was tremendous to watch.
Yes.
It really was. And, you know, Kyle Larson, you got to give him credit for better or worse. He is just a blast to watch.
Yeah. So, no, I'm with you. All right. Kevin Harvick on one hell of a roll so far this season. We're a third of the way in, basically, and just a dominant performance. How would you rank this start to the season? Where would you – could you make a comparison to someone else with this start?
You know, I don't know. I've been trying to think, and I forget what year it was that was basically a year of Jeff Gordon versus Jimmy. I'm not good with years. I'm old now. I can't remember them. But, you know, for this many this early on, it's it's pretty significant. Now, obviously, there are correlations to Truex last year because he was so, you know, incredibly dominant. But, you know, he had his, what, 8 wins throughout the year? 8, 9, 10, felt like 15, 20. I don't know what it was. You know, but it was stage wins and building up that that point total that he seemed really into. You know, and so it was kind of a steady march and, you know, a lot of those wins coming in the chase. But, with Kevin – you know, like I said, you go back to if we want to go back to that discussion we were having about you know, changes in the sport and going from this format to that format. You know, if anybody hates the playoff format or you know, was a detractor of that, then if you're so content with that, then congratulations, 2018 champion Kevin Harvick.
Right.
You know, 12 one-third into the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty absurd like that. But, yeah, and, you know, what's funny is taking the All-Star race into account, you know, it's – yeah, they were, you know, winning steadily on this kind of track, on that kind of track, and then, you know, you throw this gigantic new – package at him, and you know, Rodney just, you know, he catches that like a fly ball without looking, you know.
Yeah,
like he's like, whatever,
I got it,
I can handle this too. So I'd be a little afraid. And I was, in fact, before I got on, I was watching the Radioactive the video where they put all the in-car audio together. Oh, all the in-car audio clips.
Yes, yes.
From the All-Star race. And it's so funny how so many of them are, you know, boy, I think other than the four, we're the next fastest car. It's like, boy, that's your new measurement.
It's the four and everybody else. Yep.
Yeah, you know, that's why I was I put on Twitter, like, they need to hand out a winner sticker and another sticker that says, first runner up to Harvick. You know, because let's be honest, that's these people need some love too, some lauding.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the 600 coming up here Sunday, starting today, finish under the lights. Cask, do you got a pick for the race for the 600?
You know, I don't, because I never pick well, for one. And also, you know, every now and then something weird can happen there. You know, it's 600 miles. It's not normal.
You mean like Austin Dillon, you know, winning last year?
Austin Dillon winning last year, or years back when Casey Mears won. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's how weird it can get, buddy. Casey frickin' Mears. or you know, Martin Truex Jr. and the Furniture Row team can decide, okay, well, this is the day we're going to completely whip it out and lead about, you know, 599 of the 600 miles. So it's just really not easy to pick. You know, it's more about, I think, attrition, really.
Sure.
So I don't pick.
Fair enough.
That's not my thing, because I'm so terrible at it. But you know, Harvick, that guy's good this year.
I think so. Yeah. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
All right, Kaz, remind everyone where they can find you on social media and all that good stuff.
The Twitter handle is @NASCARChasm. That's one word. And that's only for the new people. Everybody who has followed me and then muted me, you already know that. And Instagram, I believe it's NASCARChasm_ on Instagram. And then, we have occasional pieces up there on NASCAR.com where, if you're feeling really sorry for me, go on there, load an article, hit refresh 8 or 9 times, you know, do me a favor.
Done deal. I love it. Yeah. All right. Big thanks, NASCAR Chasm, for coming on the show this week. It was a blast. We will talk to you soon. Let's not make it as long as it was.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. I was getting lonely.
I'm sorry. I'll be one of your real friends.
Oh, thank God.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Have fun at Indy this weekend.
All right. Take care, man. Yeah.
Well, if you didn't enjoy that interview, I don't know what else to do to entertain, because that was fantastic. That was fun. That was entertaining. Oh, I had a blast talking with Chasm. Good dude. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Always a fun time talking with him. Breaking down some serious stuff, some fun stuff. Make sure you check out his content on NASCAR.com. It is really funny. He tweets it out through his handle as well, too, most of the time. So, again, big thanks to Chasm for coming on the show. Let's hit some social media. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Check out the show on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Listen Notes, Player FM, Acast. Just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find Lap Traffic. Some new follower shout-outs over to Corey Rosie at Miller2CrewFan from Virginia Beach. I'm guessing he's a big Brad Keselowski fan and a U.S. Navy vet, so thank you for your service, sir. Joe Duke at JDuke5676 from Rockford, Illinois, big Harvick and Cowboys fan. Mark at Searching for Driver. Well, hey,
I think we can help you find one. Jen Mileto at JBN45 from the Cheese State and a big Logano fan. And Hunter at Harnsdorf from Oregon and still a diehard junior fan. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Tell your friends. Don't forget, on the website, the Amazon portal, just click that. Make all your purchases through that. It'll help support the show. Also on the website, some t-shirts, hoodies, and stuff. And who knows, I might be giving some stuff away here in the very near future. Very close to 3,000 followers. Might be doing another giveaway here soon. If you have tweeted a pic to me, it is on the website. So make sure you go check that out as well. And I think it is time for our weather segment with Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again, as usual, for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out raceweather.net on the web to stay up to date for all of the weather conditions as we get closer to the Indy 500 and the Coke 600. Aaron, how are you this fine evening, sir?
I am doing well, and yourself?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you very much. All right, so let's recap the All-Star Race weather. Not any real delays from on-track action, but there was some precipitation in the area there this weekend.
Ooh, definitely on Sunday. Yeah, we watched showers through the day, but wow, not Sunday, but Saturday night. Oh my gosh, that was so close. They had a few raindrops reported at the end of stage one of the All-Star race. But man, that the radar had the storms like within a mile or two of the track, and I know there was some rain reported in the area. So I consider ourselves very fortunate they got out of there without any delays, and that was kind of where we were going with it.
Yeah, totally. So
yeah, it was never going to be a rain out, but we were always just looking at just delays and what was going to happen.
So what are we looking like for this weekend? What did you come prepared with for this weekend?
I came prepared with Monaco, with Indianapolis, and with Charlotte. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's start with Monaco.
Monaco, cloudy skies on Sunday, but warmer. Let's going to start, let's take a step back here. Friday, and I didn't realize this. You do a forecast, you forecast around the world, but high temperature of only 70 for the French Riviera on Friday at the end of May.
I feel so bad for all of the people in the French Riviera.
I know. A little bit cooler than I might have thought.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
The temperatures do warm up over the weekend, but we do get some cloud cover in there, but no chance of rain. So they'll be running on their medium softs and super softs, probably focusing on the soft tires this weekend. But looking good for Monaco. We're going to start the day at I think 8:15 Eastern or 9:10 Eastern.
Sounds about right.
Yep, on ESPN, commercial free, which has been very nice. I have to thank Mother's Car Polish for that one.
Excellent. So first race sounds like it's going off without a hitch. How about race number two, sir?
Race number two, sunny and warm. Highs in the mid-80s through most of the weekend. Sunny skies Friday, Saturday. It's a few clouds moving in on Sunday, but no rain. Nice and dry.
Excellent. So the Indy 500 is good.
For the Indy 500.
All right. Are you getting a clean sweep this weekend?
No. Unfortunately, no. We are looking at a situation. I want to start with right now. We're looking at a situation. There's a tropical low over the Western Caribbean that is forecast to move north into the Gulf of Mexico, generally the eastern half. Some of the models do take it more northwest towards New Orleans. Some take it north into the Florida Panhandle. So not only do we have uncertainty about whether it's going to form, whether it'll develop, but also on track. So right now there's about a 30 to 40% chance that it'll develop into something organized that might either be a tropical depression number one or even right reach top tropical storm strength. But then there's uncertainty on the track. So this is kind of a composited forecast of what I feel the most confident in. So, but it is kind of a lower confidence forecast. But it's not bad.
Okay.
It's not definitely not a rain out.
All right.
So I'll start on Friday. is in Friday Night Truck Race. We're going to have afternoon showers and thunderstorms. But with the evening start, we should be rain-free for the truck race. So you may have a little bit later start if we're doing track drying or something, but I don't see any precip during the truck race that would make me say, hey, it's going to go late or, yeah, there's going to be any racing interruptions. Saturday for the Xfinity race, here's where the problem is. It's a 4 o'clock start. We're forecasting afternoon showers and thunderstorms again. So we could see some issues during the race, but Charlotte's a place with lights. They'll have a situation they could race into nightfall that if we have some rain interruptions, we go through drying, and we go back to racing again. It just might be like a stray shower and thunderstorm.
Okay.
We're going to finish off with the Coke 600. That's a 6:15 Eastern start. It's going to be kind of the reverse. We're going to be dry in the afternoon, and then we're going to see a slight uptick in rain chances during the evening hours. So it could be like last Saturday was, where we see showers and thunderstorms in the area, but then it's kind of hit or miss. Is it going to hit the track, and we'll be there and monitoring and watching the situation? Again, it's not going to be a washout, but there's more potential for interruptions during the Coke 600.
All right. Well, at least it sounds like we're getting on the track. It just could be some inconveniences, we'll call them.
That's a good way to put it. Brian Newdorf and I will come up with an odds of racing probably over the next day or two. That will also put a little bit more confidence in the forecast. We'll see where these systems are going to come into the Gulf. And a further west track towards New Orleans would actually put Charlotte a little bit more in the clear. That being said, some of the tracks do drop 20 inches of rain across the Gulf portions of the Gulf Coast.
Wow, that's nuts. That's nuts. All right, well, we will keep our fingers crossed. Aaron, enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy the race-filled day on Sunday, and you have yourself a great weekend, sir.
Thank you, sir. And remind our listeners, raceweather.net for the website and at raceweather on Twitter. And then just search raceweather on Facebook, and I keep all three platforms updated.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a good afternoon.
You too. We'll see you. All right. Another fantastic weather report from Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right. It's time. It is time for some lucky dogs from the All-Star Weekend. I am excited because we also got a couple voicemails on the Wave Around Hotline, which is very cool. So I'm going to get into this right away. I'm giving you my picks. My lucky dog of the race, Brett Moffitt, he had an awesome performance. He was just able to climb right back up through the field. And like I said a little bit ago with Kaz, I think he could have had a shot to win that race. But could have gone with Kevin Harvick. I'm hoping to be able to go with Kevin Harvick on next week's show. So I'm taking a lucky dog from the truck race. Brett Moffitt, my lucky dog. All right, my lap down. My lap down is going to the wreck that took out Truex and Kyle Busch and Keselowski for purely selfish reasons, because I was doing really, really good in DraftKings up until that point and looked like I might be bringing home a couple bucks, and not so much. So that wreck is my lap down for the race weekend. Let's get to some of your tweeted responses. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog. NASCAR, this was a much better race than I expected. Lapped down, Larson's qualifying pit stop came in hot and couldn't get it stopped. That's right, he slid for an hour there, it seemed like, and then on the race too. Wally T at Wally Tankerton's lucky dog. NASCAR, if this helps save the mile and a half tracks, lap down is everybody but the number four. He's just clowning with them now. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Fans of racing, lap down, not a fan of DW's rambling. That seems to be a common thread going throughout there. All right, let's crank up the Wave Around Hotline voicemails. We got a couple of those, which is awesome. So feel free, tweet your picks after the race, or feel free to call the Wave Around Hotline 248-965-9538. And leave your picks there and be a part of the show that way, too. So let's get to the first one from Kathleen.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. What a race. I mean, it was pretty good. There was passing. There was action. I I really thought it was a great race. My lucky dog pick is Harvick Nation. We're living high on the hog, aren't we? And I'm going to have to give my lap down to everybody who's not Harvick Nation because it's going to be a long season. And yes, David, I'm looking at you. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye.
Big thanks, Kathleen, for calling in. How about that? Props to Harvick Nation, all about that. And making fun of David from MOATF. I'm all about that as well. So that is fantastic. Thanks for calling in, Kathleen. All right, let's get to one more. Very fan favorite here on the show. Mr. Andrew Cancian called in with a pick as well.
Hey, Brandon, it's Andrew. Follow me on Twitter, at Cancian. So all-star race, man. Man, I'm not a fan of the package personally. I thought the race was definitely better than most all-star races are, but man, that's not the direction I would have moved in with the aero package. I think a lot of drivers personally would have rather seen them go the other direction with more horsepower and take off that friggin' tapered spacer that I'm always complaining about, or a stricter plate in this case. But yeah, I just wish they would have moved a different direction. It'll be interesting to see the future of this package in general. If I had to go lucky dog, I give them a lucky NASCAR, the lucky dog for trying. They tried something different. Most people seem to like it. I'm not one of them. Sorry. It's unpopular opinion, but what are you going to do? Lucky dog, lap down the package. Yeah, it was horrible. Take the tapered spacer off, take the restrictor plate off, and give them more horsepower under the hood, and we'll separate the men from the boys. Take care, bud.
All right. Andrew, obviously not a fan of the package. And hey, that's just the thing, right? That's what makes it unique. It's crazy, the spectrum in terms of people that loved the package and people that did not like the package. But like you said, hey, at least NASCAR's making some attempts to try something different at during a race when it's okay to do that, right? The All-Star race. They're not doing it during a points race to where that might interfere with someone's championship or something along those lines. You know, if you're going to gamble, obviously you want to do it at a race that's not counting towards anything. So big thanks to everyone that's tweeted your picks and called in on the waiver on hotline. I am looking very forward to next week's responses and messages with regards to the Coke 600. All right, moving right along here, ladies and gentlemen, over to fantasy. All right, just a reminder, once again, get your picks in 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction going. Before we get into the actual lap traffic, like I mentioned DraftKings, David over at the MOATF podcast and I have been doing some head-to-heads on DraftKings, and he won the first race, the first one, but I am 2 weeks in a row here going strong, drinking David's tears, and personally, I think maybe Andy should set your lineup this week. I'm just saying. All right, let's see how you guys did this week with the truck race and the bonus for the All-Star race. Week high was 69 points obtained by those who picked Sauter and Harvick, which was done by Jeff Lagg, Kathleen McDonald, my uncle, Mr. Matt Crowd, finally chiming in here with a good week. Matt Fossum, Mike Elliott, and Patrick Rudolph all picked Sauter and Harvick. Nice job. With 1 week to go in segment one of the Lap Traffic Fantasy, I'm going to read off the top 15 here because it gets very close here. Holding on strong to her first place position is Miss Chloe Yunker with 1,335. Tommy Witts in second with 1,273. John Entwistle in third with 1,237. Tasha Snook in fourth with 1190. Chad Robb is in fifth with 1173. And here's where it gets close, guys. Jeff Hess in sixth with 1170. David James and John Elliott are tied in seventh with 1162. Eighth is Paul Hollenbeck with 1159. Jeff Legg is in ninth with 1158. Aaron Studwell is wrapping out the top 10 with 1157. Mike Elliott's in 11th with 1156. Mick Rose is in 12th with 1152. Andrew Cancian's in 14th with 1148. The MOATF podcast is in 14th, sorry, with 1147. And Chris Lowther wraps out the top 15 with 1140. So the top 10 has not been decided yet by any means. That said, good luck to everyone here in the last race of segment one. And let's get over to some picks.
All right, this week we are back at Charlotte for the Coke 600 this weekend, the longest race of the year. Who can handle the endurance that 600 miles will take to get the checkered flag? Austin Dillon won the 600 last year and has Chevy's only win thus far in 2018. Can Dillon win back-to-back 600s? What about Martin Truex Jr.? Mr. Mile and a Half from 2017 won the fall race at Charlotte and the 600 back in 2016. Does he get back to winning ways this weekend? Jimmy Johnson has 8 wins at Charlotte. Does he get his first win of 2018 and first for HMS? What about Mr. Kevin Harvick? Does he make it 3 in a row for the second time this year and 6th win in 13 races? We will find out. It's time for my picks. No truck race this weekend. Xfinity race. I hate to do it, but I have to take Elliott Sadler. Mr. Consistency at a mile and a half track all day. And I am riding the freaky fast 4 train till it ends. Give me Kevin Harvick. Those are the picks. Don't forget to send yours in. Segment 1 is over after this weekend, and then we are going to start a cumulative total standings as well. So there's going to be 3 grids on the fantasy page of the Lap Traffic website. I am very pumped for this weekend. It's going to be a good one. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 69.
69.
Yes, I still have a childlike sense of humor. Episode 69 is in the books. This one was a ton of fun. Make sure you're checking out the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. New giveaway coming probably by the end of this weekend. Huge thanks to NASCAR Chasm for coming on the show today. That was a lot of fun as well. The road to MIS continues next week with MIS Track President Rick Brenner. Going to come on, talk about what's going to be going on at MIS here in a couple weeks. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!